South Parish Avenue in Johnstown, Colorado. Learn a practical way to fulfill Paul's injunction to pray without ceasing and to pray with understanding, and discover how you can participate in the daily Moed, an appointed time of prayer. Call 303-654-9924 for more information.
Andrea here again with Radium Clinic. You've counted calories and you've followed all the latest diet fads, but the pounds still don't come off. Why? Find out August 21st at 6:30 p.m. at our Loveland Clinic location. Join Radium Clinic's Dr. James Houghton for an educational seminar and understand the hidden causes of weight gain ordinary dieting can't address. Learn how you can lose 20 pounds in 20 days safely. Tuition is free. The knowledge is priceless. Call Radium Clinic at 970-278-0900 for your reservation today, or log on to RadiumClinicColorado.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Good morning, friends. This is Tom Horn filling in for Dr. Stan Monteith once again. And, of course, the doctor would hope that, as usual, these shows will convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion that determines what the future will bring. I want to remind you that the views that are expressed here today are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station that you are listening to. They are my views, and they are the views of those persons that we interview. Today, the top headline at WorldNetDaily.com is about a fantastic book called Temple at the Center of Time. Why this book's being called a discovery greater than the Bible Code is because of its connecting of the Temple of Solomon site in Jerusalem, the phenomenal disclosure about the Ark of the Covenant, and more. Now, we have an expert with us today with equally profound information concerning Jerusalem, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the possibility that new scrolls may be found or admitted to or deciphered, soon leading to fantastic discovery. Our guest, Don Boland, spent many years a graphic designer, a fine artist, corporate advertising executive with worldwide responsibilities for a large company. He's traveled extensively throughout the world. He is an alumnus of Florida State University, an ex-pilot, a Christian, and in addition to all of that, he's an extraordinary writer and the author of the new book, The Danavel Scroll. Before we get to that, let me say welcome to the show, Don.
Well, good morning. Welcome. I'm glad to be here, Tom.
Well, I welcome you, and I'm glad you're here, too, and we want to get right to your research and all of the exciting information that's out there today, and also concerning your book. But first, why don't we start out with you just telling the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'll try to keep it as short as possible. I was born in northwest Florida in a little town called Chipley, which becomes Danavel, which is, of course, the key to the story. And grew up there, and it was a small farm town. And I got to know a lot of people and watched people. I was always a watcher. I had great interest in people, and learned a lot about farm life and what goes on in the rural community. As I grew up, I participated in a number of things, as you would in a small town, and fishing and things of that nature, and just a general, you know, activity with my friends. And then I left and joined the Air Force in the Korean War. And after I did that, I went to Florida State, as you mentioned, and then started on the trek of my professional life and in corporate life. And here I am. And in the meantime, I had picked up writing through my experiences as in advertising and various things that we produce, such as film and video, and so turned that into telling stories. And of course, the thing that always attracted me was the power of God, I was a Christian early on in my life and have been since. And the how to work the power of God in everyday living and the things that go on around us and what part God's power and love plays in what we do and what happens. So I had begun some years ago to have a great interest in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I have seen the scrolls, and I've talked to many people, and of course did a lot of background work regarding them and how it all came about. And so an idea, a light bulb went off, and I thought about writing a story that would encompass the second scroll. We know that the first scroll was found, the copper scroll was found, and it alluded to a second scroll, which has never been found. And so I kept thinking about the possibility of, rather than having anything to do with the Middle East around Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in a number of caves, I decided to put the... So that's what I did, and I put it into the area of my growing up and in my hometown, and that's where I am now. That's what happened, and we are talking about the book all over.
Yeah. Well, and I want to ask you more about your research into the scrolls in a minute, but the point you're making is that you growing up on this farm, and your interest, of course, academically in the scrolls research, set the platform or whatever was part of your motivation in writing your new book, The Danneville Scroll.
Correct. Correct.
Right.
Right, it did, and of course it all came together, and as you read the book, it lays it out pretty well as to how the people of that Northwest Florida town come to know what has gone on with the scrolls. They learned, some of them knew nothing about the scrolls. Many people don't even today. But they learned about the scrolls. And then, of course, the real key to the story is the second scroll, the one that had not been found, and as to this day, that have not been found in the Middle East.
That we know of.
That's right, that we know of.
Now, this town, is Danneville a real town?
Danneville's a real town. It's just a different name. Chipley is the name of the town in Northwest Florida, and but I named it Danneville for the purposes of the story.
Now, I've read the book. You're an extraordinary novelist. I mean, you're a terrific storyteller. Very, very strong. One of the best I've been able to read. But if you were to take this whole story, what is there from the book, The Danneville Scroll, that you would hope that readers would gain from it?
I think there are two things. One, I go back to the basis for all of my writing, and that is God's power, always present. And it has more to do with the interactions of people and the actions of politics and world events than we even think. That's, of course, my interpretation. The thing that we bring together in this story reveals how much people love each other, can love each other, and how
they
work.
Hold that thought. We're going to go to a commercial, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Andrea here again with Radiant Clinic. Tell me, how are you coming along with that New Year's resolution of losing those extra pounds? Don't worry. There's still time to look fabulous in that bathing suit. Give us 20 days and you can lose up to 20 pounds. All without special meals, pills, or strenuous workouts. I did. Radiant Clinic's weight loss program is different from anything else you've tried before. It has been used in Europe and around the world for over 30 years, safely and effectively. Now you too can look better, feel younger, and live healthier. Visit us at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
Here's your chance to make KHNC Radio the best it can be. Become a part of our team. KHNC is looking to expand their sales staff. If you're an experienced commission-only salesperson with a proven track record and are creative, have drive and the ability to work independently, send us your resume now. Fax is 970-587-5450 or mail it P.O. Box 1750 Johnstown 80534. That's 970-587-5450. No phone calls, please.
We're back, and we are talking to Don Bolin, the author of the new book, The Danville Scroll. And when we went to the break, Don was explaining to us what he hopes people will gain from reading this book. He mentioned, of course, the providential power of God. And, Don, you had started to explain also what you hope people can learn in terms of love and coming together.
Well, that's correct. This the location has a lot to do with the emphasis of the story in that, you know, we have been taught since childhood, or since we started reading the Bible, that most all of the biblical history, all of the events, the miracles, divine interventions, and so on, have occurred really in a small area in the Middle East: Syria, Jordan, Israel, Babylon. That's what we know, and we've accepted that. What I did, I thought, why not? God's country is the God's world. It covers, you know, all countries, and why not place an event in the United States, and of course, in this case, in Danville, that would wake the world up and give it a new vision, a new direction as to just where God is and what God knows of no bounds, and he performs, even though we're not aware of it sometimes, all of his, you might say, interventions, his miracles around us every day. Of course, this one was quite a large one, and as the previous ones on the scrolls were in the Middle East, but I wanted it to be something that would have a little different twist to it. And it's possible. You know, God has performed many miracles in this country. We just don't quite, we don't realize that he's active and at work all the time.
Some people would even say that, I mean, the very founding of this country illustrates the providence of God.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
Now, do you think there was providence, God's hand, involved in the timing of how the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered? And by the way, how were the Dead Sea Scrolls found?
They were found by, they're two stories. And I accepted the one that I thought was a little bit more dramatic. A young goat herder was tending his flock of goats, you might say, on the outer edge of Qumran, which is on the northwest coast of the Dead Sea, not too far from Jerusalem, almost due east of Jerusalem. And he was tending the goats, and one goat disappeared. And course, that frightened him because he was in charge and he knew that he had to report back. And when he went in to the, it's a Bedouin village, and he was Bedouin, and they knew that he better find the goat. So he started looking. There were a number of caves around. This was very, it is very, very, even today, rocky and a very rough countryside, rising hills and rocks and crevices and so on. And he started looking. There were a number of caves there, and he started tossing rocks in these caves just to see if he could drive out the goat, if the goat was in there, and in one of the caves. And so about the fourth cave, which was located up above him, he threw a rock in there, and he heard a breaking sound, like something that wasn't rock or echoing of rocks bouncing around. It was earthenware.
Pottery of some kind.
Yeah, pottery. And so he climbed up and peeked in. It was a narrow opening, and peeked in, and he saw some jars sitting on the floor of this this cave. And, of course, that startled him because, you know, that just wasn't supposed to happen. So he hurriedly went back and reported, took his goats, and never did find the one he lost, and hurried back to the village and this little settlement, a Bedouin settlement outside of Qumran, and got help, and they came and consequently went into the cave and found a number of jars. Some of them were shattered, and the first eight jars were empty, and the last three, there were 11 jars, had scrolls in them. They were wrapped in cloth, of course, rotted, decayed cloth, and which was over a tar covered or tar surface around the scrolls for preservation. And so that's where it started.
And didn't those scrolls, I mean, they wound up just being sold for almost nothing right at first, just in the marketplace, didn't they?
That's right. That's right. Some people, there were two or three scrolls that were in pretty good shape, you know, relatively speaking, and they became lost, quote unquote, but some people had them and they were trying to sell them, and in fact they exchanged hands. But there were a number of fragments, just tremendous number of fragments, as would happen in the other caves. There were 11 caves involved in all of the scrolls. That's where the scrolls were found, right around Qumran. And some of the caves yielded scrolls in pretty good shape, and there were many, many fragments of scrolls, probably 80 to 90,000 fragments.
And what made some of these, what made this historic was, and you can tell me if I'm right, was that they not only described like daily life or whatever, but there were actually some fragments, the Book of Isaiah and others,
sure,
of ancient biblical texts.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
And that they were surprisingly comparable to the texts that we have today.
That is exactly right. The only thing, the language, it was a Hebrew, but it was a off-brand Hebrew that they were written in. Otherwise, they found some Greek hieroglyphic writings in some of the scrolls. And that's one of the things that threw the biblical archaeologists. They couldn't quite understand how that happened. So that was, of course, over a number of years. This all happened, Tom. The first scroll was the first scrolls were discovered in 1947 with that young boy. And then for the next 20 years, scrolls were turned up here and there in the caves as they were searched, found and searched. And so the scroll searching and accumulation, gathering, we might say, it was over a period of 20 years. 1967, I think, was the last year that any further scrolls were discovered.
Now, I read online recently, and for the life of me, I can't remember where, but I only read reputable sites, so I gave, some credence at least to this, mm-hmm, in terms of its theoretical possibility, that new scrolls, that we may be poised to discover new scrolls now that they're digging in an area that they think could bring fruit in terms of finding some more scrolls. Do you know anything about that?
A little bit, just a little bit. There's been a little controversy, I think, and I think some of it because people want to be secretive and keep information in their grasp so that they don't want a lot of people out looking for, you know, scrolls, because at the end of all of this, or within this, there's the story of the treasures, you know, that went with the first copper scroll that was found in cave number 3 in 1952. And that copper scroll, of course, all it was a list of treasures and locations. And, of course, none was ever found. They were, they were looked for very thoroughly, and they found nothing. But on that scroll, at the very ending of that particular scroll, it alludes to the second scroll. And that, of course, is where all the story comes in. And even Joel Rosenberg, in his book, The Copper Scroll, you know, talks about the second scroll, but it's never been found. And except, and I say this with a smile, except in Florida. And
I was going to mention that your peer novelist Joel Rosenberg, he wrote The Copper Scroll in 2006, and included, you know, the Ark, search for the Ark of the Covenant, which maybe now has been found according to Temple at the Center of Time, and
that's right,
other treasures, implements of the Jewish Temple. What do you know about his book, and was any part in his book, like your book, based on two things: archaeological evidence that we know concerning the scrolls, but also hints as to the second scroll, and if it were found, what it could point to?
Well, it does, yes. But, of course, the story he's writing is a different, I won't say type, that would be the wrong word, but a different slant on the story of the scroll, and he doesn't get into too many definite numbers, but yes, he did a lot of background, a lot of research. That's his habit. In fact, one of the people that he quotes is the same one that I've read. I don't know if you have, but Dr. Randall Price's Secrets of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And he did. He gives credit to Dr. Price and to Robert Feather. And I, of course, worked with Dr. Kenneth Hansen. He produced a book called Dead Sea Scrolls, The Untold Story, and a great book. He used a lot of research and background, but he glossed over a lot of it. He put it into broad usage statements and so on, so therefore the numbers, et cetera, are not there, but they're indicated.
The name of your book is The Danavel Scroll, and I can imagine as people are listening to this conversation that they start putting a little bit together that Danavel, which is a fictional name but for a real area here in the United States, that perhaps some kind of discovery is made. I don't want to give up the plot of your book or even what it leads to, but how would the Dead Sea Scrolls, especially the Copper Scroll, relate to the story that you've written?
Well, because the emphasis, you asked me earlier on, and I was going to get into it, I think, before that first commercial break. The emphasis is on the family, the Kelly family, which is a farm family, a very unique farm family, and this even has the hand of God involved in that. Fourth generation family, and they have a farm right outside of Danville, and this farm is more or less example of what a real farm is all about and how careful and how well maintained it is, and then how productive it is. But the Kelly family are dedicated, very faithful Christians, and they were they had nothing to do with it, but God used them in order to develop a large find on the farm. And it gets into detail as to how and why, which I don't want to reveal too much about that, because it's a great key part of the story. But they have an extended family, people from the town and also other farms that come during the time that the miracle happens, and they all join together, because they're all dedicated, and God has touched them, and they come together, band together, and make sure that the find...
All right, hold on to that thought.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Andrea here again with Radiant Clinic. Tell me, how are you coming along with that New Year's resolution of losing those extra pounds? Don't worry. There's still time to look fabulous in that bathing suit. Give us 20 days and you can lose up to 20 pounds. All without special meals, pills, or strenuous workouts. I did. Radiant Clinic's weight loss program is different from anything else you've tried before. It has been used in Europe and around the world for over 30 years, safely and effectively. Now you too can look better, feel younger, and live healthier. Visit us at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
Well, welcome back to Radio Liberty. I am your guest host today, filling in for the one and only Dr. Stanley Monteith. And if you're just joining us, the top headline at WorldNet Daily today is about a fantastic book called Temple at the Center of Time that shows great discovery. In fact, they're saying it's bigger than the Bible code because of its connecting of the Temple of Solomon location in Jerusalem to new disclosure now, a about the Ark of the Covenant and actually a great deal more than that. But we have an expert with us today with equally profound information concerning Jerusalem, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the possibility of the new scrolls could be found or admitted to or deciphered soon that could lead to fantastic discovery. Our guest, fantastic novelist Don Bolin, was just starting to explain the primary significance of the Kelly family in his new book, The Danville Scroll. Why don't you go ahead and finish your thoughts, Don?
Okay, Tom. The family, though, represents a real center of attention in this story, in that without them, we could not have made the plot as deeply as we have, and to put the emphasis on the story like it should be. They represent, of course, as it unfolds, they represent God's servants and their extended family. They invite to the farm, because when this happens, it causes an awful lot of unrest around the country and the nation, as well as nearby throughout the state of Florida, the southeastern United States. People, all types of people who don't particularly care for Christianity, try to intervene and to stop the situation that's developing on the Kelly farm. And I'm being evasive, because if I get too much into that, well, then, of course, it would tell too much right now on
the
story.
Well, and of course, and I know what you're saying, and I've read the book. It's actually a gripper. By the way, it's got a fantastic cover, fantastic title. It fit a fantastic writer. Some of this that you're talking about, I mean, even what started out to be local and finally international security issues are even
exactly
raised.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to show, is that everything is tied together with a very thin line, string or thread, throughout the world. And we take many things for granted, you know, and we assume, well, okay, if there was a miracle, it's in Jerusalem, or if there is a some sort of a find, it's always in the Middle East, but not necessarily so. That's true where history started, that's true where Christianity was born, but the point is that it has since found its way throughout the world, and there are many things that are happening that we don't stop to think about, and there's no reason in the world that there can't be a divine intervention, a miracle that happens in this country. And sometimes I think we need it desperately in order to wake the country up. And I think that's what this story has done, and therefore it becomes pointed toward security and so on, not only for the country, but for the people who are carrying out God's will. And these people do, and it ends up by what the find is and what it says and what it does finds its way back to Israel, and you know, it wraps up there. But it all comes together, I think, and makes a broad statement.
And of course, David Flynn, whose book is over there on WorldNet Daily Day, he eagerly endorsed your book, The Danville Scroll. Mm-hmm. And he saw in your book some of the same thing that we saw. It almost felt like, in reading this book, The Danville Scroll, that there was a thin veneer between the fiction of the novel. I mean, one could view it just as a very exciting, almost Indiana Jones type story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was always this feeling that just right under the surface, this book actually could be, I mean, alluding to what could be soon future facts.
Well, that's true. And of course, I believe that very, very, very much. There's just too much there, Tom. As you know, you've done an awful lot of research, as I understand. There's too much that's happening now that is pointing toward end times. And I think this is all part of the unfolding of some of the peripheral things that support the larger issues, the larger things that go on, Gog, Agog, the various things that are meshed together to make the history come true, which is it's doing.
Do you think that what's happening today in the not just only in the Middle East, but also with Russia in Georgia, is this the alignment of Gog Magog?
I believe it is.
You believe it is?
I believe it is. Yes, I do. I believe it is. I think it's just starting what we see unfolding with Georgia, and of course with the other, the old Soviet Union, the other bordering countries. I think that who knows how long it'll take, but things could go pretty rapidly, I think. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, there's a couple of extraordinary things in what's happening here, in that yesterday's news was saying that the real reason behind Russia going into Georgia is to take control of the oil.
Well, yes, that's a side issue, though. I think that the real issue is that Putin wants to gain back the old Soviet hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Putin is ex-KGB, and look out. I was in Russia in 1978 during the Cold War and got to see and was more or less receptive to some things that receptive on the basis that it was very interesting, but I had to keep it to myself. But it's amazing. The country has made a full circle. They went through, of course, and then the Cold War, we finally shut them down pretty well, and they were in bad, they were in trouble financially, and now all of a sudden here they are, and the oil business is, of course, the primary thing in the Middle East. It will be the, you might say, the carrier of events, but I think beyond that, though, it's territorial, and I think it also has to do with idealism, idealistic change of politics.
And the second thing that was in the news yesterday was this also, of course, could lead to war with Israel, which immediately then the Gog Magog lights start going off.
That's right. That's right. And I feel, and I know that several people that I am close to who are interested in the same area.
Let's take a short break,
okay.
Don. We'll be right back.
Okay.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
If you're a woman over 35 and suffering from hot flashes, mood swings, low sex drive, it could be your hormones. Listen to what Suzanne Summers has to say.
All I could think was, who turned up the heat in here? I found out that it's all about balancing bioidentical hormones. My brain is sharp, my moods are even, I'm sleeping great, and I even lost the extra weight in my midsection.
Radiant Clinic is Suzanne Summers' only recommended clinic in Colorado for bioidentical hormones. Look for a location near you at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
This is Tom Horn filling in for Dr. Stanley Monteith, and we've been talking to author Don Bolin, whose new book, The Danaville Scroll, reads like a plot from an Indiana Jones movie, but in this case, some of the information concerning the discovery of the next Dead Sea Scroll or a scroll that could point to information more true than fiction. And all of this, including what we were talking about when we went to the break, Don, Gog, and Magog, all of this could affect all of us, a lot of us, the world, on a very personal level. I'm wondering, with your research and what you know now and what you've written in this book, how you personally were impacted by working on the Danaville Scroll.
Well, quite a bit. I had, when I started researching, I got interested in the scrolls some years ago. I started thinking along the same lines you indicated. I was thinking about, what does this mean? Are these just happenstance pieces of papyrus or leather that are rolled up in jars that somebody wanted to sit and write these biblical historical moments, or was there something more to it? Otherwise, was there a broad plan? Was there something that was guiding all this to happen? And I came to believe that, yes, there was. And as I got into it and started making notes and deciding that there was a story possibly there, and then when I got into the copper scroll, I knew definitely something just told me that this was where I wanted to go, and I felt like really that the Lord was looking over my shoulder. I had a definitive feeling that I was being urged to write a story, and of course I did. And the thing is that the scrolls themselves, the amount of biblical, in fact, there are a number of books of the Old Testament that are in the scrolls. They've already deciphered most of those, and then of course the first four books of the New Testament. And that's what threw them. They thought that all this was Old Testament, the Hebrewic Bible, and yet all of a sudden here comes some scrolls that relate to the apostles. So they it's really fascinating, and I think that it's not all over. You asked earlier on about would there be other discoveries, and so I believe there will be. But it may not be for a while. I think it's going to take a period of time to for someone to finally figure out where to look.
Well, we don't know. I mean, because like you said earlier, for security reasons, you know, many of these people, you have some people that try to grab headlines like Zawi.
Right.
The Egyptian, you know, but then there are others who take a more scholarly approach, and they can sometimes, it is almost like a black budget operation in the U.S. military. I mean, they are extraordinary in terms of their need to be able to protect what they have discovered, at least until there can be studies made of it and sometimes peer-reviewed commentary made about it.
Well, that's right, Tom, and I will say this, the Mossad, which is the Israeli Secret Service, and other elements in the Israeli army are, with all the problems they have facing them, they still, based on the Temple Mount, the Third Temple Mount, the Yom Kippur War, all of that, they still are very, very sensitive toward the possibility of more fines. And so I think that underneath the surface, in a secretive fashion, they've been looking also. And there are a number of places still to look. That's a rough country over there.
What do you make of some people who have said that, you know, part of our motivation, if not the motivation, for the U.S. going into Iraq or Babylon had something to do with something that was found there, the old location of the Tower of Babel? You make anything out of that?
Yes, I think that, as we know, that the information that we can get is that Babylon will be rebuilt. And we may be on the edge of that right now. I don't know just, you know, where the Iraqi war, where all that's going to end up. I have a feeling, but...
Well, Saddam Hussein definitely, you know, considered himself to be the resurrected Nebuchadnezzar.
That's right.
He had committed to millions and millions and millions of dollars to the reconstruction of Babylon.
Yes.
We interrupted his construction plans, but I read an article not long ago in the New York Times that said that Iraq, the United States, and the United Nations were considering a plan to rebuild the ancient city of Babylon and to turn it into an international cultural center. Did you see that article?
I did. And the thing is that that may be the first step, and that the UN, et cetera, and their other bodies, I think there are even a couple of countries that are secretly involved in some of that, that it will be rebuilt. And it will be, of course... I read a story not too long ago, a newspaper story, that it was buried in the paper, of course, but a little thing by AP out of, I think it was out of, it might have been Israel, I'm not sure. It might have been Jerusalem, I'm not sure. But anyway, that this, in fact, was... being planned rather heavily right now by a number of entities,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to happen. I think that Babylon will be a major city one of these days.
Well, and we're building our biggest embassy ever there, much bigger,
right.
10 times bigger than any of our other embassies. But of course. According to the prophecies, after it's rebuilt, and it's going to be utterly destroyed.
Absolutely flattened.
Utterly destroyed,
yes.
So that nothing can even habitate there. In fact, the description almost sounds like a nuclear explosion.
Well, I think that's where it may come. I
keep your thoughts. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back with author Don Bola.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Here's your chance to make KHNC Radio the best it can be. Become a part of our team. KHNC is looking to expand their sales staff. If you're an experienced commission-only salesperson with a proven track record and are creative, have drive and the ability to work independently, send us your resume now. Fax is 970-587-5450 or mail at P.O. Box 1750 Johnstown 80534. That's 970-587-5450. No phone calls, please.
Bill of Rights, Article 1.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to join them as they welcome Toby Janicki from First Fruits of Zion on Thursday night, August the 28th, for a special seminar called Knocking on Heaven's Gate, Discovering the Appointed Time of Prayer. The appointed time for the seminar, 7 p.m. The location, KHNC Studios, 2 South Parish Avenue in Johnstown, Colorado. Learn a practical way to fulfill Paul's injunction to pray without ceasing and to pray with understanding, and discover how you can participate in the daily Moed, an appointed time of prayer. Call 303-654-9924 for more information.
We've been having an exciting, revealing discussion with author Don Bolin, whose new book, The Danville Scroll, is available now. Don, earlier we mentioned Joel Rosenberg and others like him and you, who do a popular job, actually, of making great fiction by including great, real, breaking news facts woven into the storylines, or even speculation about what you believe might soon be true. Now, we've only got about 4 minutes left in this show, so I need you to give me very short answers. Besides yourself and Joel Rosenberg, who are some of your favorite authors?
Well, there are a number. T. Davis Bunn is one. I mean, I'm looking at several here because I've got so many. But I have David McCullough, historian. I have, of course, Joel Rosenberg I read. And I've got just a number of them. I look at Wilbur Smith and James Gannon. It's just all over the ballpark, you might say.
Are you currently working on anything new, any new novels?
I am. I've got the first draft almost completed on a book called Lucas Doran, which is about a highly, extremely highly, probably the most highly gifted child that's been born in this country. And then, of course, he also has an impact on the world.
Now, is this a novel or is this based on a true story?
Well, it's a novel.
Okay.
It's a novel, but it has, like I like to do, it has pieces that are relative to current events in it, and historical.
Such as what?
Well, the thing is, there again, my whole shtick, as they would say, is writing about God, God's presence, God's power, God's love, God's Son, Jesus Christ, but especially about the power of God and how He controls things, and trying to get people to understand that He's in control whether they like it or not, and that He's in control more than they think.
And
so it all weaves around that particular, you might say, common thread.
Lucas Doran, will that be the name of the book?
That'll be the name of the book.
And is this this is a boy who's like a savant?
He is, and he's born to through circumstances which I won't reveal right now, and becomes immense, becomes just unbelievable. Hopefully, I can keep it that way. But I think I'm onto something again. So
now,
I'm hard at work on that.
Without giving anything up, when do you think this book will be done and available?
I should have the last draft done about a year from now.
About a year from now. And now, is Lucas Doran extraordinary because he has certain gifts in the sense of being a seer, a prophet, a certain mathematician? You know, like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Some of the, you know, you and I have talked even about David Flynn, how he almost seems to be a savant without the handicaps. I mean,
right.
he, because he sees the world in a way that nobody else does. This Lucas Doran character will see the world in a way that nobody else does.
Absolutely.
How can people get a copy of your new book, The Danavel Scroll?
Oh, gee, through all the bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, through Target.
All right, you can get it anywhere. It's available everywhere. We've been talking
right.
to Don Bolin, the author of The Danavel Scroll. Good day, Don.
Bye.
Want to talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com.
Andrea here.